The advice and opinions expressed by the hosts of Autism Live and her guests are meant solely as suggestion and should not be in any way construed as child-specific advice. Any choices you make in determining your child's treatment are completely at your own discretion.
Welcome to Autism Live. I'm Shannon Penrod. So excited to be here with you. We got a big show for you today. A big guest, one of my favorite guests that we've had on probably for like once a year, twice a year for 10 years. Danny Bowman's going to be joining us in just a little while. And you guys probably know her from Love on the Spectrum US. And we know her from so many different things because she's such a wonderful, talented artist, filmmaker, animator. But she's going to be joining us to talk about the premiere of season 2 of Love on the Spectrum, which, if you haven't seen it, you need to rearrange your life. And I won't promise that there will be no spoiler alerts because it's been out for days. I've seen the whole thing. Why have not you? I couldn't stop watching it. That was the problem for me. I sat down and my intention was only to watch the first 2 episodes, and I couldn't turn it off, so that's a really good sign. But anyway, Danny's going to be joining us in just a few minutes, and we'll have lots of questions for her, and the chat is open right now. We're live on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and several other sites. Our wonderful Chris Desmond will show you in a minute some of the different places that you can be listening or watching the show. Remember that if you can find us on Spotify, you can find us on iHeartRadio, any of the places that you're listening or watching podcasts. Don't forget, though, we have a pretty robust YouTube channel. That's where you can watch video and sound from the last 13 years. We're in our 14th year of production now. So you can find all of that on our YouTube channel. And you can search by topics and do all kinds of things. It's all there for you. But if you're listening in podcasts, and we're only doing audio podcasts now because that's the way you guys have said you prefer your podcasts, then you can find us on any platform that you find podcasts. I will tell you that there obviously there is a cost to the production, and we don't want you to have to pay for any of that. From the beginning, when we started this show 14 years ago, we were of the mindset that we wanted this to get to as many people as they could, because our mission has always been to provide information and inspiration, and we don't think that you should have to pay for that. Now, we do have to have ads, right? That's a part of the deal that we do, so we hope that you'll embrace the ads that you see and hear when you're listening to the podcast or watching the show, because without our sponsors, it would be very hard for us to be able, it would be impossible for us to do this. Let's say that. So, but many of you have said, gosh, I'd really rather get the podcast without the commercials. You do have a way to do that now. glow.fm/autismlive. Here's the bonus. If you do this, then you subscribe to it. It's $5 a month, even cheaper if you're doing it by the year. You get a bonus. You get both Autism Live and Ask Dr. Doreen ad-free if you do that. So that's available to you. Otherwise, be listening and enjoy the ads and make sure that you subscribe to the Autism Live podcast and to the Ask Dr. Doreen separately. They are separate podcasts now, and so we hope that you will make sure we love it when you like, we love it when you share, we love it when you comment, we especially love it when you review. Oh my gosh, if you want to do something for us to help us get the word out, that's a great thing that you can do. You can also tell friends, oh, and subscribe. Thank you, Chris, for reminding me. We love it when you guys subscribe. That helps us. We hope it helps you because it means that you'll get the feed coming to you. But it also helps us to get sponsors because when they see, oh, this is how many subscribers you have, it helps us. It also helps us in ranking, which helps us get to more people, which is what we want, right, for more people to get the free information. I'm saying hello to Rodney. Good afternoon to you. It's still morning for us, and it feels like morning. Let me tell you, I don't know what my difficulty is. It's so cold and rainy here that I'm struggling in the morning. But not once I get here with you guys, because this is super fun. So because it's Wednesday, before we bring Danny in, it's time for us to do what we love to refer to here as the jargon of the day, as you can see on the screen if you're watching. This is when we take on one word, one phrase, one acronym. We try to figure out what in the hey, nani, nani, are these experts talking about? Why do they come up with these terms and these anagrams? And just to, like, drive us completely bonkers, right? Except that's not why they do it. They do it because when you're dealing with something that has lots of nuance, we get jargon because it gets specific. That's the great reason to have jargon. The really terrible part about jargon is if you don't know the jargon, it means you're further behind. That you can't even learn what people are talking about because you don't know the lingo. And I will tell you, I go to autism conferences when forced to. There's a lot of jargon at these things, and I get fatutzed because I don't, you know, at a certain point, yes, use your jargon, but let's not exclude people. And I think that sometimes some of the experts lean a little too heavy into the jargon, and that is when I get angry. If you can't explain it to somebody in common terms, then I don't think you really understand it. And as a former teacher and as somebody who wants to help and give information, I think it's really important that we learn these terms. Not only what the experts mean by it, but then how we can use this in our everyday life. How this can impact us for the better. So that's what we do. We first give you the actual definition, and then, as you know, if you watch the show, I like to make fun of it, and because that's my hobby, and everybody has to have a hobby. Then we move to the working definition, which often, I think, upsets some of the experts because it's not perfect, right? But then I try to give you an example of how this might work, why this might be important to you. So I looked in our archives. I don't know that we've done this term before, and if we haven't, I just want to smack myself in the head because we talk about this on the show all the time. Our jargon term for today is cognitive behavioral therapy, or as you will hear it referred to it a lot, CBT. And I know, first time I heard that, I was like, are we talking about medical marijuana? No, CBT, not CBD. Okay, so let's take a look at our actual definition and see, oh, it's bad. It's long. Here we go. And this is from www.apa.org. Cognitive behavioral therapy, or CBT, is a form of psychological treatment that has been demonstrated to be effective for a range of problems, including depression, anxiety disorders, alcohol and drug use, marital problems, eating disorders, and severe mental illness. Numerous research studies suggest that CBT leads to significant improvement in functioning and quality of life. And that was the definition on www.apa.org. Now, I don't know about you, but I read this definition and I go, okay, it seems like it's wildly effective with a whole bunch of different things. I'm no closer to knowing what the hey, nani, nani it is, right? So if it's so effective, what exactly is it? Let's see how we did on the working definition, but then I'm going to help you to embrace this because I have been the beneficiary of CBT, and I can tell you how and why it was effective for me. A proven method of working on severe phobia, fears, and depression, it requires the patient to be able to notice their own thoughts and evaluate them. All right, we get a little bit more information, but really that definition helps us to understand that this may not be right for everyone who's on the autism spectrum. Let's start there. Because if it may not be right for people of every age or developmental age, that in order for this to work, the person has to be able to notice their own thoughts and evaluate them. So would we do this with a four-year-old? I don't know. Because depending on who the four-year-old was, I'm thinking for a four-year-old on the spectrum, probably not. Probably not. So cognitive behavioral therapy, which is really an amazing tool to work on for some of the things that you guys write into the show about when your child or your teen or young adult has an extreme phobia, you might hear Dr. Grampiche suggest that we're going to work on this with systematic desensitization. Well, systematic desensitization is very much a part of cognitive behavioral therapy because we're helping the individual to understand part of what's going on with our anxiety is that we have thoughts. And those thoughts sometimes are misleading, right? So with cognitive behavioral therapy, the first thing is that you notice what the thought is and acknowledge what the thought is. And then a lot of times you're given a checklist of, okay, what do you want to do about that? So I've shared pretty openly before here on the show that I'm somebody who, I think like most people, I have a certain amount of anxiety. But there was a time in my life when the anxiety got too high and I started having panic attacks. And it was very difficult for me to go outside the house. There was a moment when I thought I was never going to go out of the house again. That I remember thinking, okay, what am I going to give up if I don't? Oh, I'm going to miss Jem's graduation from high school, right? And, I don't want to miss. And this is when he was five, you guys. But I was already thinking that far ahead, like, I'm going to be one of those people that never goes out of the house again. And I couldn't drive my car. I was somebody who was a road warrior, used to do stand-up comedy and drive 5 hours each way to a gig. I couldn't drive my car to the grocery store. Very debilitating, right? So it was at the point where it's considered a disorder because my life is not working. But I got good cognitive behavioral therapy, and it helped me immensely because we would work through, with my therapist, I would work through what are the thoughts, and I was giving a checklist. So I would start to feel the panic, and I would think, oh, no, and my brain would stack all these things. And on my checklist, one of my things, and for each phobia, each fear, it's different, right? Because it's very tailored to the individual and to what their fears are. But in my case, it was like, what are the fears? And for instance, one of them was, oh no, when you have a panic attack, it can feel really like a lot of things are going wrong. And I was afraid that I was going to have a heart attack and die. And here was going to be my five-year-old child with autism. And I'm his project manager for autism, right? And it would just stack, stack, stack. And on my list of checklists, things would be, you know, have you ever felt this way before? And the answer was yes. Did you die then? No. And what the thoughts try to do is try to ratchet whatever that panic is down to a place that's manageable. And that's all part of systematic desensitization. They also take whatever the thing is that some, let's say that a child, let's say a 9-year-old who now is aware of their thoughts and is panicked about being around a dog. Well, one of the first things that they would do is try to see what can we be around without too much anxiety. So maybe they take a picture of a dog and they put it far across the room. And they are playing something really fun with the child and they say, oh, what's that a picture of over there? And the child might have a little bit of a reaction, but they go, but it's okay. It's a picture. It's over there. Let's just keep playing our game until there is no anxiety with the picture of the dog being that far away. And then maybe the picture of the dog gets a little bit closer. And again, the child starts to have some feelings. And they say, but it's okay. But remember, we're focusing on this game. And that might take a week, you know, depending on the child and depending on the phobia, right? But then eventually, it might be a two-dimensional dog that's sitting, you know, a figurine that's sitting over there. And the child can take that. Then maybe it might be a video on a phone that's a funny video of a dog. And if the child can take that, then we move on to being at a park, and look, there's a dog over there, and they're having the feelings, but we work through them and go, are you okay right now? Is the dog hurting you? Are, you know, let's focus on something that's fun so that we keep massaging it until we get to the point where, and it might take 2 years, but eventually we get to the point where the child can pet a dog and be in the same room with the dog and have no anxiety. We're going, it's cognitive because we're using our thoughts to recognize our thoughts and evaluate them to say, do I need to be panicked? Am I in fear right now for a good reason? Or am I being tricked into thinking that more is going on than it should be? You'll see, if you go online and look up CBT for different phobias, you'll see that there's all kinds of videos. All the talk shows used to feature this back in the day. And there, I will tell you that with CBT, there are a couple of different methods. One of them is the systematic desensitization. There is something that they use sometimes, which is referred to as flooding. And we don't do that with children ever. And we especially don't do that with children on the autism spectrum. Can I just say, and if you're working with someone doing CBT and they start talking about flooding and you have a child or a teen or even a young adult on the autism spectrum, I want to encourage you to say, let's not do that. Because flooding is when, it's basically when you throw somebody into the pool and hope that they're going to learn how to swim. Let's not do that with children, and let's not do that with folks on the autism spectrum. Let's just not do it. You know what I mean? We have enough in life that ends up happening where we have to deal with anxiety in a real life situation where we don't have a whole lot of prep to do it. Let's not force it. Let's not create that circumstance for individuals on the spectrum. It's not kind. I'm not sure it's kind for people, adults that aren't on the spectrum. But, you know, for some people that are stuck under the care of a really trained clinician, sure. But let's not do that with folks on the spectrum, okay? But cognitive behavioral therapy really helps, and it usually helps relatively quickly. Like I was just saying, that might take 2 years, but you could work on that in a million other ways and never have that move an inch. And usually with cognitive behavioral therapy, you start to make progress fairly quickly. It may take you a really long time to get where you wanted to go to. It's worth it. I drive my car everywhere. I won't say that I have no anxiety. I won't say that I never have a panic attack, but I now know what to do if I'm having a panic attack. And I can stop usually a panic attack before it's at 11. You know what I mean? Which is a good thing. Nobody wants to go through life feeling that way. Oh, my goodness. Okay. So if you have any questions about that, please feel free to write in. As I said before, we have with us today the fabulous Danny Bowman. Somebody was asking me the other day how I knew Danny, and I said, oh, my goodness, you know, I feel like I've known, I think she was like 14 years old the first time that she was ever on the show. And at that time, she already had her own studio. And she had already put, she had two children's books that were out. And I remember being so impressed by her as a 14-year-old. Well, you know, what she's gone on to do in the intervening years is absolutely amazing. And so we were so excited when we heard that she was chosen for the cast of Love on the Spectrum US. If you've not watched the Australian version of Love on the Spectrum, it's really delightful too. But I have to say that I love Love on the Spectrum US that much more. And it could be because I know some of the people in the cast, but I don't think so. I think it's just, they're all wonderful, right? But it's, I don't know. I feel like our knowledge of people on the spectrum and the things that they want, I think people have gotten more accepting, which I think shows up in the show, the more things that we're watching. And Danny's the perfect person to talk to because Danny has broken down a lot of boundaries. So we're going to talk about that with her and some of the projects that she's working on with her studio, Danimation. And some, you can find out about the classes that she teaches because maybe you or someone that you love that's on the spectrum could benefit from taking a class with Danny. So let's welcome Danny Bowman. Look at you. You look fabulous.
Hello, Shannon. How's it going?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me be here. And it's so wonderful to be part of Autism Live, as always.
Well, and you've been with us for a really long time, Danny. I was just saying, I think you were 14 the first time you were on the show.
Oh, my goodness. I just can't believe it's been 15 years since I get to be on Autism Live.
It's been
15 years of running my animation company, Danimation Entertainment.
Absolutely. And you've got your lovely logo behind you and some of the characters that you've drawn. You are a brilliant and talented artist. You are an entrepreneur. You're an international speaker. You're an educator, a filmmaker. The list goes on and on. But you also are the star of this Love on the Spectrum US. This is your second season being on it. I want to start, Danny, by talking about the decision that you went through when you did, because this is a little intrusive. These cameras come to your house, They go with you on dates. That's got to feel a little weird. When you were invited to be a cast member of the show, did you immediately say yes, or did you have to think about it and talk with your family about it before you decided to say yes?
Well, actually, for me, when I was being on season two, I was like definitely wanted. I definitely had to say yes to this being filmed for season two. And at this time, I even thought about two other suitors at this time. As I also think about at least one suitor at this time. So yeah, the show did ask me if there are any other suitors other than a Don, and I said, well, maybe. So I came up with a suitor named Jake, and they came up with Matt. Well, I can't wait to dive deep into the details of why these two suitors, Matt and Jake, didn't work out. Yeah. Can't wait to dive deep into that.
Okay, let's dive deep into that. Because for people who don't know, by the end of season one, we were left with the impression that you did not find love. And we were waiting to see what was going to happen in season two. And so they had asked you, you brought up Jake. And I'm just going to say to people, we are going to talk about some spoiler alerts here. It won't spoil it too much for you because it's so delightful. But hopefully you've seen some of it already. And if you haven't, you need to put everything down and go watch it. But, okay, so three suitors that you have, you go on dates with three different guys in season two. Let's dive in. What do you want to tell us, Danny?
So I want to start with Matt first. Okay. Because Matt is from San Diego. So he's a wonderful, really nice guy. Don't get me wrong. Wonderful Comic-Con nerd. But I did not feel the connection with Matt. It's because I don't do well with long-distance relationships. Don't get me wrong. Like I said, he's a nice guy, but I guess we didn't hit it off. But we have become good friends. Isn't that what mature people do if they do go on dates with someone? And if you don't hit it off, it's okay to stay friends. Because the worst thing that can happen out of a failed date is becoming friends. As long as everyone is respectful and nice. Which Matt is, right?
I saw that you posted something about him that was very nice, and the other day. I just really appreciate it. I got to be honest, Danny. When I watched you go on the date with him, I had high hopes. I thought, oh, this is going to be the guy. And then there was a moment when I went, oh, it's not going to be the guy. I'm wondering if it was the same moment that you realized that it wasn't going to be the same guy. Was there a moment in your mind when you realized this is not going to be my future boyfriend?
Well, that's when he was talking about that he works for a trading card company. And he lives in San Diego. And don't get me wrong, I have no problem with Matt working for a trading card company, but living in San Diego, but if I had to move in San Diego, that would not work well. Because being at San Diego is his life. And he works and he's one of the main people at the San Diego Comic Fest.
Yeah.
Matt has also been featured on the Fox 5 News and the Forbes article.
That's what you had posted was the Forbes article. And I just thought it was so nice how supportive you were being of him. And I'm going to steal your word. I just thought, look at how mature they are. That you were posting and saying congratulations to him. I just thought it was really wonderful. And that was the same moment that I saw. I was like, because you even say something, you say, I don't know how that's going to work. And I just want to say to everybody, isn't that how everybody is on a date? You go on a date, you're talking to the person, and there are things where you go, ugh, I don't. I remember my first date with I've been married to him for 20 years. And he was telling me that he had two cats. And I just was like, I don't see how that's going to work. It did. But in the moment, I was like, I don't think so. That's what dating is all about. So that's Matt. Who do you want to talk about next?
So the second date was Jake. Wonderful. Jake and I first met at San Diego Comic-Con in July of 2022, right after the first season dropped. When he saw me on the show, he wanted to meet me. But unlike the guys that sent me, like, these creepy socky messages, Jake bought Comic-Con tickets to go meet me. We became friends. We did not date because I realized he was getting over his ex, and I did not want to be the rebound. Soon he started working with me at Dnimation, and we became pretty close friends. After 6 months of getting to know Jake, the creator of Love in the Spectrum, Kian, asked me to go on the show for season 2, and I wanted to know if I had any love interest that I may want to go on a date with. So I thought about Jake. I asked Jake if I wanted to go on a date with that if he wanted to go on a date with me on the show, and so he agreed. So we had to, but we had to keep it quiet. However, during the date, I think he got cold feet. The very next day after filming was Valentine's Day, and I never got a single Valentine's message from him, not even on text or even as a friend. All my other friends were sending me happy Valentine's messages, but I think he didn't want me to get my hopes up high. So that was a heartbreaking moment for me. But I got over it very quickly.
Yeah,
mainly because we worked together. I had to talk to him because of work. But at the end of the day, he's a pretty nice guy, and I know he didn't mean any harm. Now we're back as friends and co-workers, like the same as before. It was for the best.
Yeah. And there's been a bunch of screenings, and there was a screening the other night, and you were there, he was there. And it seemed like you guys have a really wonderful, friendly relationship. And I'm really happy for you about that. I want to go back to something you said, though, Danny. You said that he purchased a ticket to go to Comic-Con. He was hoping to meet you there. And that it wasn't, like, stalky, icky. Because you get a lot of messages from guys, right?
That's true. And some of them were sending me inappropriate messages. Like, they even post pictures of them posing them in these provocative poses, which,
why? I just want to know. The world has descended to this. And whenever I talk to women, there's a particular kind of pick, if you guys know what I'm saying, that people think is the thing to send now. I've never met a single woman who ever has wanted a single one of those pictures. I wish men would buy a vowel and understand nobody wants a picture of their privates. Not now, not tomorrow. We're not interested in a picture of that. Stop sending them. It's a public service announcement. And people should not be sending those pictures to you. That's icky. That's gross. But you did like the fact that he came to Comic-Con. So that was not icky. Why is that not icky?
Well, it's because he just wanted to get to know me and wanted to develop a friendship with me.
Okay.
It's all about developing friendships first before getting into, like, relationships or getting close or intimacy.
Yes.
It's taking it slow.
So for guys who are there, spoiler alert, you have a boyfriend now.
But for
guys who are watching this and they want to know, I see somebody on Love on the Spectrum, like, what is an appropriate way for you, in your opinion, for them to reach out? Do you like if they DM you?
Well, not necessary. If they're just saying hi, or if they're just saying, we really like the show, I think everything is successful. I do appreciate the compliments, but it would be really nice if I get to know them in person first.
There we go. So take that as a note, you guys. Okay, so we've talked about two of the guys that didn't work out, and yet you're friends with both of them. Really a feather in your cap, says you're very mature. But then you went on a date with somebody that you had been on a date with on season 1. Tell us what happened.
Yes, and as most of you know, I first met Adon during season 1, and he really made me laugh. I remember the part when he's doing impressions of Ren and Stimpy. I was, like, laughing out loud during speed dating. But I was still kind of hung up on the first date from the show because my speed dating and the second date with Adon was just several weeks after I broke it off with the first date. So when I was talking to Adon on the second date about not judging a book by its cover, I was referring to my first date, not Adon.
Yes.
After the show ended and I had some time to think about Adon, I realized he was the one that I had the most common with. So I was happy to give it another go. And I'm glad I did. So far, so good.
Yeah.
We'll see where this adventure takes us. However, he is finishing his degree in animation, and he also works. I totally understand that he's finishing school and working are his number one priority at the moment. I am patient in giving him all the space he needs because I am pretty busy myself. So it works out.
Yeah.
Although we don't go on as many dates as we both hope we had time for, but we text all the time. We're planning on seeing each other soon, maybe this weekend, maybe at the Aquarium of the Pacific. Speaking of the Aquarium of the Pacific, I will have a booth there for the Festival of Human Abilities. And if anybody with a disability and a guest can come to the aquarium next week, Saturday and Sunday are free. You just have to sign up at the Aquarium of the Pacific website.
Wonderful. And that's, if you haven't been to the Aquarium of the Pacific, it's fabulous. And you do this every year with them, Danny. It's remarkable what you do. So thank you for the heads up. If you're in the area, it's Saturday and Sunday that it's free, correct?
That's correct. The Aquarium of the Pacific Festival of Human Abilities is this weekend.
And there you go. There's an opportunity to meet Danny in person. So there's been a lot of talk about there's a date that you and Adon go on, and there are cupcakes. Tell us about the cupcakes.
Well, I would say the cupcakes, remember I demonstrated the cupcakes since season one, the cupcake technique of how I kiss? I demonstrated to Sandy and Patrick, and Patrick were like, meh. And I took the inspiration from several YouTube videos from a woman on how to kiss with a cupcake. So then I demonstrated the same technique to Adon on how to kiss with a cupcake. And he told, and also a positive note, he really loves Sprinkles cupcakes, much to my pleasant surprise. Then we practiced that. I think he's gotten better with the kissing part after practicing with the cupcake.
It is the cutest thing ever, that scene. And I have to say, I always liked Adon, but I liked him so much more because he didn't get self-conscious about it. Even though you guys had cupcakes and you were licking the cupcakes and then you were kissing and there were cameras there, I loved how willing he was and that he was like, teach me. And you got to love that in a guy, Danny. I was really impressed with him for that, and he had a sense of humor about it. He was as cute as could be, and you were amazing. I think it's a great scene that everybody should watch.
Thank you.
Was it awkward for you? Were you self-conscious because there were cameras, or were you okay?
I was just fine. I never mind about the cameras. Ever since some season one, I don't mind if cameras following me everywhere.
That's cool. Well, I think you should have your own show, Danny, but that's me. Okay, so whenever these come out, and it was the number one new show on Netflix when I was looking at it the other day, you got a lot of attention, a lot of people are talking about this season, and so much of it is just people raving about how good it is, how it's just delightful, how it's so uplifting, it's so positive. But anytime you get a lot of attention, there's some negative attention, too. How's the mix for you? Are you getting a lot of good comments, or are you getting some negative comments, too?
Well, most of the good comments in, like, common social media, like Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok, but there's a lot of negativity, especially on Reddit. So I guess we can talk about the elephant in the room.
Okay.
The reason, you know, could be my sexuality. So the way the saga of me talking about it on the show started when I decided to discuss with my aunt and uncle about the filming of season two and how I felt about being somewhat infantilized in most of my adult life, about me being interested in sex. I didn't understand why this is a big deal. We, on the spectrum, just like anyone else, may be interested in sex or not. And the news alert, women are also interested in intimacy. It's not just a boys' club, but if we women have the audacity to talk about our intimacy, OMG, scandalous.
Yeah.
But men talk about it all the time, on or off the spectrum. I understand that some of us are not interested in sex, but some of us are, just like anyone else. Love on the Spectrum has been amazing at highlighting the diversity within the spectrum, but I felt I needed to be more open about my real self that I didn't talk about in the last season and share more about my own quirks, like my sexuality. I mean, come on, we're grown-ups here. I'm 29 years old, a 29-year-old woman, and I'm all about having a mature relationship. You know, the kind where we go on trips, weekend getaways, and yes, it includes intimacy. No need for a wedding ring before getting down to business. I'm an adult, and if I want to consent, I will. Just like everything else, I research the heck out of any subject that I am interested in, including sex and intimacy. So yeah, I do a lot of research. I don't see anything wrong with that. It's human sexuality. Why do some people consider this a dirty thing? However, I decided to dive into this topic with Adon right away. Had to make sure we're on the same page, you know, adulting stuff. If he wasn't into it, no big deal. We could have just stayed friends, but I am on the lookout for somebody ready to explore the world and our sexuality together. Maybe Adon. So Adon and I, right?
Yeah.
So for season two, I took the plunge and asked Kian if it was cool to discuss this. He gave me the green light. Yep, I'm the instigator here. I wanted to open the door so that conversation could start because it will also help us stay safe. The more we know, the better we can protect ourselves. And it goes for all genders. Also, one more thing, however. I knew that it would open up the door to a bunch of creepers and haters, which has, but I don't care. I just wanted to bring up the subject so it could be more normalized.
Yeah, I'm glad that you are so clear focused on it, Danny, and understanding that you are going to get some negative people. And because I think that's the thing that I only worry about for you is that you don't have people come in and with the sole purpose of thinking that they can take advantage of you. I think you're a strong young woman. And that no one's going to take advantage of you, but you know people are going to try. But I love that you have come forward and that you're putting the emphasis back on people to say if this is bothering you, why? You're a 29-year-old woman, and you're very clear about what you want and what you don't want. And as you said, you research it. Nobody should have anything to say about what your needs and wants are. I don't know why people get so squeamy. I don't get it either. But I love and I'm glad that you are this instigator. I think some people worried about that too. Were you being pushed into talking about those people who don't know you? If we know you, then we know you weren't being pushed into this. But for people who don't know you, maybe they were thinking that it was Kian who was bringing it up. So thank you for letting us know that you were the instigator. This was conversation that you wanted to have and that you had it the way you wanted to have it. Were you happy, because, you know, you film and then they edit. Were you happy with how that all got portrayed on the show?
I'm very happy it did, and it has some positive, and I see the positive remarks on. I always think about myself that I'm very happy of certain things that have turned out, even though there are some things that have been cut from the from this show. But overall, I'm so happy about what they've portrayed.
Is there anything in particular that got cut that you wish had been put in that you're willing to tell us about?
Well, there are some good locations that I've been to. You know, when me and Devin have a conversation, we say cheers, and he says to second chance of finding love. The whole scene of me and Devin chatting wasn't in the rest of it wasn't in the episodes. It was just only filmed in the beginning. They only filmed that clip in the beginning.
Well,
and
let's talk about that friendship. I'm sorry, go ahead. Say what you were going to say.
And the other one was when Devin and I visited the Bigfoot Tavern with all that taxidermy and the hunting trophies everywhere.
Oh, my goodness. there's a different scene that I don't know if I could have handled another taxidermy, because there was a scene with James where he went to a friend's man cave, and I almost couldn't survive that. That's another thing that's being hotly discussed.
Yes, and especially because he's using a bottle opener from the coons behind.
I can't get out. Like, I haven't been able to wash my brain clear of that. I could have done without. But I know everybody's talking about it. So if you guys had gone to another taxidermy thing, I don't think I could have handled it, Danny. I'll be honest with you. But let's talk about Devin, because Devin's super fun. And he's a friend of yours that you bounce ideas off. How did you and Devin meet?
Okay, so Devin has been Joey Travolta's inclusion film camp student from the Bay Area, and I was one of the animation teachers. So Devin and I first met in 2012 when I arrived at Joey Travolta's inclusion film camp in Moraga, California. At the time, Devin was also one of the volunteers there, and he was helping all the other film students. He helps coordinate all the other film students. So Adon and I, we've connected, we've chatted, we've become good friends. And then by the time when Devin is entering his college years, he moved down to Los Angeles, California, and he's got his own apartment, which means Devin and I have more time to connect and spend time together more.
You guys are fun together, I have to say. I love the whole, when you guys were sitting on the floor and he was talking you through kind of a mindfulness moment, a breathing moment, I thought that was delightful.
He's very funny, and he's also really helpful. Helpful big brother.
Yeah, that's what it seems like, your relationship. It's super fun. Okay, so I want to know, because when you guys are filming, they're just following you, and you're not seeing the other castmates. You have no idea what's going on in their lives. So when you sit down to watch it, you know, I'm sure your first thing is wanting to see what got left in of what you guys did and what your dates were like and all of those. But were you surprised by any of the stuff that was happening with some of the other people on the show?
I was not that surprised, and especially because I already knew of Abby Lutz. First met each other in person since Spectrum Laboratory. I was the animation teacher, and sometimes Abby and I would, Abby, while she was one of the acting students at Spec Labs, sometimes we run into each other.
Did you also know David as well?
I don't think I ever knew of David until I first, not until Love in the Spectrum, though.
Got it. And, of course, they have an amazing story arc in season two that everybody should watch. I'll talk about that in a second. I'm hoping there's a season three. We'll talk about that in a minute. But some of the cast members are people that are on the other side of the country, on the East Coast. Have you gotten to meet all of them yet?
I don't think so. I never really met anybody else. Well, actually, I did meet Kaylin and Sabo, who are season one exclusives.
Yes.
But I never really got to meet Steve or James and the new cast members, who are Connor, Tanner, and Journey.
Yeah. Well, you know, season one won an Emmy. And I think season two is even better than season one, so maybe you guys will all get together.
And what's so special about season two? It's ranked number three on the top 10 showing top 10 TV shows in the United States.
Yeah, the other day when I watched, it was number one. It was in the number one spot on my Netflix. So you know, top three is pretty amazing. It's got to be very exciting for all of you guys. You haven't met James and the other new cast members, but do you guys ever email? Is there any contact between any of you?
Text. We do text. Sometimes James and I text through Instagram. We text through Instagram private messages. Okay. Sometimes we send comments on his Instagram. He's been telling wonderful stories, like he's been telling some amazing monologues about his experience.
He's so funny. He's so delightful. So is there discussion? You may not be able to tell me. So if you're not allowed to, you don't have to. But I'm certainly hoping for season three. Are you hoping for season three?
Well, I am ready for season three when it times goes, right? Because season three would be really interesting.
Yeah. And I love what you said about your relationship with Adon. It's so interesting because relationships, you know, there's ups and downs and things, and both of you, it's lovely when you guys are together, but both of you have very busy lives, and he's got how much of school left? At least another year, right?
Yes, at least. He's hopefully he's graduating soon, which I can't wait.
Yeah.
This year, right?
But then, you know, then there's work. There's always other things going on that have to be overcome to be able to spend time with the people that you care about. But I hope you guys have a really good time and get to know each other really well. He seems like he's so nice and funny. And
charming. I would definitely call him my muy guapo.
Okay. I don't think I've heard that term before.
It's a Mexican saying. It's like a Spanish saying for like I'm so handsome, like
oh,
that, right?
Guapo. I think I heard it wrong because my earpiece was. You said muy guapo. That I know.
He's
also funny, and I see that you make each other laugh. And I think that that's a part of a good solid relationship. If you can make each other laugh, man, that's a really good thing. So. What else have you got? Because you're so busy. What else are you doing right now?
Well, I would say other than the Aquarium of the Pacific, I'm still coming up with some new projects. I'm so excited that we've been making some brand new animation projects coming your way, premiering at San Diego Comic-Con. Plus, I am so excited about the Autism and Entertainment Conference in April 5th, which I'm excited about. I'm also one of the featured panelists. This is where Jorge Gutierrez, the famous animator, the guy who did El Tigre, Book of Life, and Maya and the Three, is a keynote speaker, will be a keynote speaker on the 5th.
And where is that going to be?
It's going to be at the Squirrel Ball.
And I don't know where that is. What city?
Well, I would say Autism Entertainment Conference will be in exactly. Let me just think. Autism and Entertainment in Orange County, right?
It's in Orange County, so it's in California. That sounds like fun. That sounds like something I'd like to go to. And so you're going to be on a panel speaking there. That sounds pretty exciting. I'll definitely Google that and find out about that. I would love to go there. And did you say that's in February or March?
It's in April.
April. Oh, okay. There's a lot going on in April already. All right, we'll definitely have to check that out.
It's Autism Month.
Yes, no kidding. And then, is it in March that they do the Easter Seals Challenge?
It's also in April.
It's in April, okay. Because I know that's a busy time for you.
April 2nd to the challenge goes from April 2nd to the 7th.
Okay, all right.
That's Easter season.
All right. And are you having a team again to put out a film for that?
The Easter Seals Disability Film Challenge is a film challenge for people with or without with disabilities. It's to include people with disabilities who are in front or behind the camera to create a short film that is within the given genre and with the given theme. And this year's theme is buddy comedy, which I'm definitely so excited about.
Okay.
I'm up for another challenge.
Yeah. I can't wait to see the film that you do. Please make sure that you share it with us so that we can take a look at that. Before we go, because we're running out of time here, we did have a parent who wrote in a question that I want to get your kind of input on it too, because it's a question about focus. I have seen you work, Danny, and when you are animating, you are focused. You are just, like, in the shoot, and I don't see you having any issues with focus. But if you're doing something other than animation, has it ever been hard for you to focus?
Well, Oh, yes. It's actually really hard for me to focus. But in order to keep myself focused, that's why I have calendars. I usually have calendars that are synced with my one-on-one animation sessions. And I have to check my emails. That's the hardest part of adulting on the spectrum.
Yeah. Let me tell you, that's hard for all of us, not on the spectrum. But when you were a kid, because you knew that you wanted to animate very young. How old were you when you first knew that you wanted to be an animator?
Well, it's because since I was born, actually.
Yeah. Because I know one of the things you talked about on Love on the Spectrum, you talked about being in grade school, and there was a drawing that you did, and about knowing that you wanted to be an animator then, and that you wanted to end up with a significant other that was somebody in the animation field at all. How old were you when you were in that scenario? Were you like 6 years old, 7 years old?
Well, I thought about coming up the idea of running an animation company when I was 11 years old. After I've been experimenting with animation software before actual animation softwares that I used. The software I used was Adobe Photoshop, MS Paint, and PowerPoint presentations. I've been playing around with these tools before my aunt and uncle witnessed my animation potential. And at 14, my aunt and uncle recognized my animation potential and played a pivotal role in launching my company, Danimation.
Yeah.
It is now dedicated to guiding students onto the animation career path. At Danimation, we provide comprehensive classes in animation and job skills.
Yeah, and you offer classes. And some of those classes, correct me if I'm wrong, are you still doing some that are virtual?
That is right. I still do animation one-on-one sessions, and we cover various aspects such as voice acting, writing, editing, storytelling, storyboarding, animation, of course. Our mission is to help students transform their passion into a career by assisting them in discovering their fit within these diverse areas.
Go ahead.
Yes?
No, you say.
Okay. I invite potential animation students to join us to navigating the exciting world of animation and learning how to turn their passion into a career just like I did. I offer a free introductory animation class on Saturdays. And to sign up, the link is daniacademy.com/free. And you can find out more about my company at www.danimationentertainment.com.
Wonderful. Answered all the questions that I had. But can you say the link again for them, the free class? Can you say that again?
Sure. To sign up, go to dannyacademy.com/free.
Wonderful. So, but I guess before we leave, to answer this person's question a little bit more, was there... Because you went to school, you had other subjects that weren't animation, that weren't your preferred thing. For instance, math. Did you have a hard time focusing on math? Was that hard for you?
Well, that was really hard for me. But I excelled a little bit better in math than with English. English, indeed, was my hardest subject.
Okay. So how did you get, or how did... Sandy and Patrick or anybody get you to focus on something you weren't good at?
So how do they do that? My aunt and uncle noticed my animation potential. They used my love of animation, and they turned those into tools, like, for example, using flashcards to know what the definition, to know each of the definition of each vocabulary word. Take obsolete, for instance.
Okay.
For obsolete, I write down the synonyms, I write down what it said in the sentence, and the image that brings the word to life. Like, for example, a VHS tape. They connected my love for animation.
So when you were thinking about obsolete, you would draw a picture of it, and that would help you to connect to it and help you to focus.
That's true. That would help me connect to focus.
Brilliant. Brilliant. I absolutely love that. Danny, we're such big fans of yours, and I'm so proud of the amazing, empowered young woman that you have become. You're a voice for so many people. young women who want to be entrepreneurs. And I really want to applaud you for you know, standing firm and saying that you are a full person and that you deserve and are entitled to a full, intimate relationship, and everybody on the internet needs to grab a whoopee and get over it.
All right. That's right.
That, and I've spoken on that. Anyway, so thank you. I know you're so busy and you're teaching and you took time out of your day to be here with us. You're incredible. I so appreciate you. Thanks for taking the time.
No problem. Anytime. And thank you so much for inviting me to the show once again, Shannon.
Absolutely. We'd love to have you back anytime you've got time. So thank you so much.
No problem. Thank you so much. And have a wonderful rest of your day.
You too. Thank you, Danny. Bye-bye. What a remarkable young woman. I'm telling you. That's just amazing. And to have watched her really grow up and claim her space has been so exciting. Just thrilled. I wanted to ask Danny's opinion, but Brian, I wanted to make sure that I answered your question too. He said, if you have a moment, I'd like to hear your thoughts about inattentive ADHD. His son, age 6, is clearly this and is high-functioning ASD. We see a psych person for the second time tomorrow. In almost everything, he tested 96% to 100%, except for everything tied to poor focus, listening and conversation, etc. That makes a big difference for schooling in the real world. And I want to go back to Danny's answer, and that's why I wanted to ask her, because, you know, I think there's a delineation between we all have things that we love. And we have a certain amount of ability to focus on those things. And things we don't love, we don't focus as well on them. But I think that that's an important distinction, because I can think of one friend that I have who was diagnosed with the inattentive ADHD. And it was a professional woman, had a business, and her business wasn't doing well. Even though she loved it. It was her passion. It was what she wanted to do. There were aspects of it that were dragging her down because she couldn't focus on those teeny aspects. And we see that in executive functions, in order to be successful at achieving a goal, there are like all these little pieces that have to go together. And part of it is being able to attend to, is that working? And if it's not, to switch gears. And that people who have a problem focusing often won't get as far. Now, we've seen a couple of things that help with this. As Danny was saying, taking the thing that you love and including that in the things that are hard, you know, isn't that a great thing? But we've also seen that medication, you know that I'm like medication last ditch thing, but I saw for this person that I'm referring to, this adult woman, finally broke down and said, okay, I think I need some medication for this, took the medication, and her business flew. And it was overnight. She said, oh, my gosh, I feel like the fog got lifted, and I can focus now. Her whole life changed. And I think when I think about our kids trying so hard to focus, you know, it's not terrible to try the medication to see. But also, attention, depending on the level of the person. This is why I was asking Danny about, are there some things that you could focus on? If the person is able to focus on some things and utilizing that to help them to focus strengthens that muscle. So one of the things that for somebody who's age 6, I guess I want to ask the question, first of all, what are we asking them to focus on and for how long? I remember for my son's IEP for kindergarten, the first pass of it was one of his benchmarks was that he was going to be able to sit in a group for an hour and attend for an hour. And I looked at that as a former school teacher and I was like, what? I would never ask kindergartners to sit and attend for an hour to something. I would make it interactive so that they got time to get up and do something. Like if I was going to read them a story and I was going to read to them for an hour, which I'll tell you right now I wouldn't, right? But if I was going to read to them for 15 minutes, I would make part of it interactive. And I, you know, if there was a part in the story that I was reading where there was a wind, I would say, okay, everybody get up and be the wind, you know, so that we give them opportunity to stay focused, to, you know, vary it up and involve their body. Because expecting kindergartners to sit and attend for an hour, I think it's unrealistic. But if we start by having them attend for 1 minute and we keep them involved and give them a break and then we extend that to a minute and 20 and then, you know, 2 minutes, we can build their ability to focus on something. We talked with Dr. Grandpuchet yesterday about making it fair. We don't want to start with an hour. It's just too long. If you can, and not everybody can work on focus in that way, if there is one thing that they love and that they can focus on it for a minute, I think it's a worthwhile thing to start doing that. If there is nothing that they can currently focus on for a minute, I definitely would start looking at medication. I would make sure that their diet is such that we've put our best foot forward to having the potential to work on attention. We know that sugar, artificial colors, and flavors, for attention. They do not help. They pull things in the opposite direction. So I think looking at all of that and piecing together for this precious soul what might be right, hopefully that gives you some directions. The Rapid Learner Program we are considering, I know he just would not make it because you have to stay on task. But how long do you have to stay on task? Are we starting with a realistic amount of time that you have to stay on task? Yes. Last-ditch item that you may consider is the prescription. And brain mapping and neurofeedback. Yes, I've seen that work with people because that's also building that attention. And I've seen that work for some people. But it has to be reinforcing for them. I know, like, sometimes they have the little rocket, and they tell the kiddo, you have to focus, and you have to get the rocket to stay between these two lines, right? Well, the rocket has to be reinforcing enough for the kiddo, otherwise it's just frustrating. I've talked about before that they came out with that Jedi mind thing where you put on the little electrodes, and you had to try to make the ball float. You know, that's biofeedback, and it can help with focus if it's reinforcing for them. You got to make sure that you're working with somebody who's going to consider what's exciting for your kiddo, but absolutely, that's strengthening the muscle, and hopefully you're working with somebody who doesn't expect them to be able to keep the rocket, you know, going for 3 minutes before they get another reinforcer. If it's somebody good, they'll start out, and maybe they just have to get it between the lines, and it's kudos and big rewards for it before you move on. But sure, it's like any other muscle. If you do it a little bit at a time, you're going to strengthen. So I love that. All right, we are out of time. We went past. How do we manage to do that? We're back on Monday. We've got great guests on the show on Monday. We're going to be talking with a game designer about a new game that they've got that is designed to help teens on the spectrum to be able to problem solve, to be able to do jobs. I hope I got that right. That's my interpretation of it. Let's hear what they have to say about that. That's going to be on Monday. We've got big shows coming up, you guys. I'm really excited about the stuff that we've got in the loop. Some amazing, amazing stuff coming up. So I'll tell you more about next week. And we do have Dr. Grandpuchet on Tuesday. And then I think we have a young filmmaker on the spectrum who's going to be joining us on Wednesday. So more on that next week. Until then, give your kiddos a hug from me and one for you, too. Bye-bye for now. If you found anything helpful in this video, please give us a like. In fact, make sure that you smash that subscribe button on YouTube and give us a like on Facebook. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Instagram for important updates. And please download our free podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you so much. See you next time.
Hey Houston, Conn's prices are invincible. That means prices have been cut low, as in amazingly low, as in won't be beat. In fact, we're backing it up with our low price guarantee. Invincible prices on appliances, furniture, electronics, mattresses, and more. Not invincible enough for you? How about free next day delivery on appliances, TVs, and mattresses? And payment options for everyone, whether you have good credit or building it. Visit Conn's today and find out what invincible feels like.